20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans and Packer Nation? Welcome into a Week 18 Saturday edition of the Injury Report presented by Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Matt Frelick. Alongside me is Eli Berkovitz. Janelle Mackey cannot make the Injury Report recording today because, Eli, she sacrificed her immune system to get us a win on her voyage from Minnesota to Lambeau Field last weekend in the routing of the Vikings. So you called her selfish earlier in the DMs. I would like Janelle on here. I don't think if I go to that far extent of being selfish, but she's got to rest up because I heard her on the, I did hear her on Open Book, and she sounded a little raspy, but I appreciate that she could battle through during the week, but rest assured that she should rest up at this point. She says, please, she just literally must, her ears must have pinged. She says, say good things about me in my absence. And I've already checked that box. So it's literally all up to you at this point.
Yeah, I guess now that she said that, I really have to say good things. But no, Jen definitely gets a fair pass for not being here today, sacrificing her vocal cords and all that to be at the Packer game. And she happens to have a very good track record at Packer games, so it was a good thing she was there. Clearly brought them some good luck in a big routing of the Vikings, which really was some of the most fun I've had watching a football game in a long time.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. I actually got home from a family gathering, last Christmas gathering. My brother ended up coming to watch a game with me, and, like, it was a good time just to, like, see an absolute butt-kicking like that. But we are into Week 18. Eli, I never thought we'd get to this point, to be honest. Win and we're in. I know the Lions need a little bit to go their way with the Seattle game, but let's get into the injury report. Before we dive in fully, there was a report yesterday I saw locally from Fox, WLUK11, it was right after practice or near the end of practice, at least I thought, there was an ambulance that ended up going to the Ray Nitschke Center, which is like, whoa, that's kind of concerning, especially with the week that's been throughout the NFL. And it ended up being a practice squad player, DQ Thomas, inside linebacker out of Middle Tennessee. He was signed to the practice squad end of September, it looks like. He is a rookie. It sucks that he got hurt. It was actually, sounds like a knee-to-knee collision based off of what Matt LaFleur had said. Sounds like it just freak accident, fractured his femur, ended up having to actually have surgery. It sounds like as of noon on Friday, surgery was successful. Kind of shitty for a guy. Like, you know, I'm sure everyone at that point was like, oh man, like, what is this injury? Kind of crazy for an ambulance to go there. I guess it was precautionary just because of that injury. They could have taken him out on they normally would take out players on a cart, but just with this type of injury, I guess it was the ambulance. So Packers essentially, you know, miss a scary injury that could have been towards the end of the season here, getting into Week 18, but ultimately dodged a bullet essentially, and we hope DQ Thomas can get back on his feet, not literally but figuratively, and, you know, establish some sort of career after that injury. But let's get into the injury report. Starting with the Packers, super limited. The big one all week, besides, you know, the notable ones we've seen week in and week out the last month, besides David Bakhtiari, besides Aaron Jones' lower body, Aaron Rodgers, of course, Christian Watson, those guys all were limited in practice all week. Full participant for Rodgers on Friday and Thursday. But the big one we were looking at all week was Josiah DeGuara's calf. One of those that kind of, as we've come to know, like, kind of just came out of nowhere. I've been a skeptic of DeGuara since he's been on the Packers. I believe I've heard some remarks probably across all of Packers Twitter, just like what has been. But I would say over the last 2 months has been a contributing factor in the run game. And he flares up with a calf injury. Was not listed on Wednesday, and that had a little bit to do with the walkthrough. Just a lot of teams were assessing, you know, internally how the mental health of their players were after the scary incident happened on Monday night in Cincinnati. But he was not listed with an injury on Wednesday, so you don't really know if he would have practiced or not. But then DNP on Thursday, he actually did practice on Friday. Rob Domoski reported when he was at practice that everyone practiced. Josiah DeGuara was a limited participant, and he is questionable with his calf injury. So we'll start with that one. Just like, what sort of impact do you think that this could have on not the passing game, I don't think, but definitely the run game, where Josiah DeGuara has been an impact the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it could definitely be at least somewhat of an impact. I think, you know, we can get into the argument, obviously, as you kind of mentioned, about, you know, drafting him in the third round, but for what he is, for essentially a fullback kind of player, he's a good lead blocker. Like, you want him out in front of your running backs when you could get him there. Obviously, we know about Mercedes Lewis blocking on the edges, but he's not really going to be that lead blocker going out of the backfield. So DeGuara has been definitely a part of that run game. And just looking at the Packers' tight ends, I mean, you don't really notice it so much because they're not so involved in the passing game. But between Tonyan, Lewis, DeGuara, and Tyler Davis, all of them play decently meaningful snaps every game. And I'm just right now just looking through the NFL.
Sure.
I would see any other team that has four, and most teams don't even have three guys playing as many snaps at tight end as the Packers do. So tight ends are a big part of it. But so, yeah, I definitely hope DeGuara could be out there. But again, you know, at least in terms of the passing game, and it's I wouldn't say it's, you know, a massive game changer, but it would be nice to see him out there. I think he's definitely a good blocker to have.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and exactly, not in the passing game. I think the passing reps have mostly gone to Mercedes Lewis and Tonyan over the last couple of weeks. But again, like you mentioned, very far and few between for the tight end group. Tyler Davis has basically fallen off the map as far as tight ends go from where we saw him in August, or people predict him in August. But I do think Josiah DeGuara missing in a game that will be outdoors, where we've seen the Packers establish the run a little bit more with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon more consistently. I think Josiah DeGuara will be missed, just the way they've been able to motion him in from outside of the numbers, from, you know, two back sets at a shotgun or a single back set, and then able to get him kind of in motion and to get a chip there and some good rum fits has been huge. But we'll see if he can go crazy. Like, I didn't think as of Thursday with a DNP and then a not listed on Wednesday, you know, depending how that shook out with just like the way the team handled the walkthrough and the practice, that we didn't even see him practicing on Friday. So that's pretty huge. I think my guess is he will probably go, just based off his position being a calf injury. I imagine his snaps already aren't in abundance, as we've already talked about, split between, you know, basically three guys at this point at that position, and just even how he's used in limited capacity. I think we'll see him getting an activation come, what would it be, 6 o'clock on Central Standard Time on Sunday. But that's just my hypothesis. So just to run through quick other injuries that maybe we haven't heard of recently. Yash Nijman, I think, is one to keep in mind. He had that shoulder injury that kind of flared up he went into the game on Sunday with that shoulder injury. I believe he got tweaked again with a stinger or something like that on Sunday. And then we saw, of course, Zach Tom come in at the right tackle position. I ended up actually getting that prediction right. And I think you got the same thing, as like, he was going to be ready to go if Nijman didn't work out, and it ended up working out that way as well. But he was a full participant on Friday. And literally, it's like almost the same injury report as last week. Like, yeah. I already mentioned Aaron Jones still with the knee and the ankle, Aaron Rodgers with the thumb and the knee, Christian Watson's hip, Keyshawn Nixon's groin, Elton Jenkins' knee. It's literally the same injuries we've seen week after week after week. Like, nothing new, which is good. And I think it's just like there hasn't really been any setbacks with any of these guys. So that's the most positive thing I take away from the injury report. Granted, it is long, but the only designation, just once again to repeat, is Josiah DeGuara with the calf, DNP on Thursday, limited, and actually did practice on Friday, and he is questionable going into Sunday's game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there are some guys, you know, Rashawn Gary, I would say, being the number one guy on IR for the Packers right now, but going into a Week 18 game, I don't think you could be much healthier than the Packers are right now, which is not something we have grown accustomed to.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's like something I wanted to bring up here. And whether or not it's just the luck of the draw, how injuries have gone towards the end of the year, or the Packers playing for a playoff opportunity and guys are going to grit out some injuries, but I just think it says a lot of just, you know, there's a ton of guys on this list that could have an injury designation, and maybe they're gutting through these injuries, like, you know, the eight or nine guys that are already injured, they're gutting through because they want to get into the playoffs, or, you know, they're just saying, hey, you are cleared to play. It's up to you if you want to end up going. But I think it just kind of speaks volumes to where this team is at as far as the injury luck, and then also just where they're, you know, win and get in. So guys are going to grit through an injury, just because, like, especially if they're able to play through some soft tissue stuff or some thing that's been lingering, because week 18 of the season, as we know, like, no one's really healthy at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as Detroit, something notable that I want to kind of reference of last week is we really hit on a ton about the interior of the Vikings offensive line. And that ended up being, I would say, one of the key factors from the defense and at least the offensive potential production from the Vikings last week. They were limited up front. We talked about how their backup center, he was in there. He ended up getting hurt early on. I want to say the first quarter, second quarter. They had the third string guy come in, which is just wild. So they're banged up. And we kind of see a similar trend here with the Detroit Lions offensive line. Obviously, Detroit Lions offensive line, really, really good. One of their key pieces and key staples to this team. But let's start on the offensive side of the ball. We already have a guy that's out, and that's, I'm going to butcher this name, Okoyede Awusika. He's a guard, backup, DNP all week. He is officially out with an ankle. Now, you sit, look at a backup, you're like, okay, not that big of a deal. But when they're also a different guard, Evan Brown, who's a starter for them, an ankle, he was limited all week, full participant on Friday. He can kind of play that guard center position, it appears, off of the depth chart. I think that's a notable one to kind of keep tabs on, just like we kept tabs on last week at the backup center for the Vikings. But the most important one for this line would be their starting center, Frank Ragnow, who's been there for a long, long time. I would say he was like the first piece they ever brought in as far as that offensive line position. They've added more pieces that they've gone on through the years, through the draft and free agency. But he had a foot all week, DNP on Wednesday and Thursday, and I thought for sure Friday we wouldn't even see him out there. He ended up having limited participation. He is questionable going into Sunday's showdown in Lambeau Field. So that's what the offensive line's kind of looking like for them. I do think, I would imagine we're going to see it be a focal point for the broadcast, and even just going into Sunday, these will be, again, just like last weekend, these will be the key ones that I'm looking for from our opponent, just to see what sort of impact we can make up front. Because we saw what Kenny Clark was able to do. We've seen the emergence of those other rotational defensive tackles. What are your thoughts, Eli? Is this very similar to the Minnesota Vikings last week as far as that offensive line? Do you think the offensive line was more important maybe for the Vikings? Like, what are your thoughts as far as the offensive line for the health of it, that being for the Lions going into Sunday's matchup?
I think number one, the offensive line is more important for the Lions than the Vikings, just because of how much they rely on the run. And also, we know Jared Goff under pressure, not the greatest. Already on the road in the cold, not the greatest, but if he's under pressure, it's really not great. And then in terms of, you know, what we're looking at kind of like last week, it made a huge difference. Obviously, not only did Kenny Clark have a big game, TJ Slayton had a big game, but you saw Kirk Cousins not being able to communicate in a normal way with his center definitely made an impact on the plays they were calling, the checks they can make at the line. So it's obviously going to be, I think, like you said, the biggest piece of this whole injury report is Frank Ragnow. If he is not out there, that's a total game changer for that offensive line. He's like that staple in the middle. We all know how important a good center is for the offense, the consistency of it all, and for the run game. I mean, in my opinion, the key for the Packers in this game is to stop Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, and that offensive line is banged up. It will definitely help the Packers stop them.
So from a standpoint of a Packers fan, let's just say Frank Ragnow is not able to go, or he goes and ends up getting tweaked. That's why I think the Evan Brown injury is just so impactful, because he's like a swing guard center, similar like a Lucas Patrick that the Packers have previously had, a guy that can play inside. And he would, I believe, be their backup center at that point. So then you would look to see how the trickle-down works when they're already the backup guard already out. You don't know if Ross Pierschbacher, journeyman center that's been around the league a ton, different practice squads and across about a handful of teams, if he would fall into place. So I think it's just like the shuffling that would happen internally for the Lions offensive line, which would be very large. So last one on the offensive side is a fullback of no real – I know he's gotten some snaps. Fullbacks are far and few between in the NFL at this point. Jason Kabandah, he's questionable with the knee. DNP on Wednesday, limited Thursday, Friday. So he has a questionable designation. Just to recap from the offense, Awusika, the backup guard, he is out with an ankle. The fullback, who I mentioned, questionable with a knee. And Frank Ragnow, questionable with that foot, which would be the one, if you're circling at home on your injury report, that would be the one I would definitely be noting come 6 o'clock or an hour and a half before the game on Sunday Night Football. And then no one with a designation, but just Justin Jackson, third string running back for them, full participant all week with a hip. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. Eli, we got Michael Brockers, D-line, solid interior guy for them, ankle, DNP on Thursday and Friday. Questionable. Interesting to see a guy literally didn't practice all week with an ankle and is questionable going into the game. Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say he's probably not going to play just off of, you know, doing this for 17 weeks. This being the 18th one, just seeing how that kind of trends with a lower body injury. My guess is he won't play, but that'll remain to be seen. Deshaun Elliott with the shoulder, limited all week, questionable. I think he's probably going to go if I had to bet on it. And then Jeff Okuda, obviously their stud Ohio State cornerback that was drafted the last couple of years. He's battled injuries year after year since he's gone into the league with an elbow. Not listed on the injury report Wednesday or Thursday. Limited participation on Friday. He is questionable. So if I had to say the three that I think, number one, I think that the more, you know, notable players between Brockers, Okuda, and Ragnow. But I would say on the defensive side of the ball, Okuda and Brockers are definitely the ones that would be more worried about if a Lions fan, based off of not necessarily the injury for Okuda, definitely more for Brockers, but just like they didn't really practice all week and they're questionable going to Sunday's matchup. Yes. That's kind of where I see the biggest issue for the Lions defense and that secondary there.
Yeah, I think definitely Brockers. I mean, he's a veteran player. We all know that, you know, he might be a little bit up there in age by now, but he makes plays. He's a smart player. And I think, you know, a reason kind of like what you mentioned earlier with it being week 18, you know, teams are probably going to be less, you know, not as quick to rule guys out, you know, give them an extra day, see if they could tough it out. So that's what I assume it is for Brockers. Like if you're not going to practice Thursday and Friday, it's pretty unlikely you're going to play. But I guess week 18, why not stretch it as far as you could? And then in terms of Okuda, I mean, yeah, that's obviously a big deal to see him if he would not be playing. And also, I mean, to go from full practice on Wednesday and Thursday to limited on Friday, you never want to see that. You never want to see later in the week a guy with a worse designation than the day before. So definitely an injury to keep an eye on. And, yeah, like you said, he's definitely battled a lot of injuries in his career, but he does have plenty of raw talent. And if he's not out there, it'll obviously give the Packers receiver some amount of an advantage on the outside.
100%. Like, besides these injuries, I'm trying to go back here. I wanted to check real quick. I don't even think Okuda did play in the first game. I thought for some reason when we did this, he didn't. The other one that I do recall that they had a banged up secondary when we did play them. It seemed from memory, it seems like a lot of these guys did play going back to the box score and just looking at some snaps that occurred. The one I am kind of omitting, I guess, and kind of just putting under the rug is that Deshaun Elliott one with the shoulder being a safety. I think that is, that's large. Like he is a starter for them, or at least has been the last couple of weeks. I think that's another one. If you look in comparison to Frank Ragnow one, a guy that might go who is questionable with an injury, but that's an injury that he's limited with all week and could flare up middle of the game and end up taking him out. Unlike the, you know, Okuda one where it's just an elbow, I feel like you can kind of play through it, or shoulder, kind of making some tackles that might flare up at some point. You might have some issues, and we'll see how they can go. But ultimately, man, like it's really limited as far as the injuries for the Packers. Obviously, the Lions have some that I think are super impactful. Those three that I mentioned, Brockers, Okuda, and Ragnow, I think are the most important. Deshaun Elliott probably could be a situation that we could see flare up during the game, but those are really the four on their side that I see. And we always like to bring up, like you reminded me before we recorded, just like the injury report, the IR. No one really on the IR for them. In the terms of the Lions, that is anyone of note. They've been essentially healthy with some stars this year. They've lost a couple guys along the way, but no one that's caught on the IR since we previously recorded. But this is what it looks like. I guess I want your final thoughts on this game, Eli. A lot of people have been talking about, I heard a little bit more rumblings on Thursday and Friday when we got the playoff picture a little bit more. It seems like, you know, depending on what happens in that Seattle game, and if I'm right, do you remember who Seattle plays by chance offhand?
I believe they play the Rams.
Rams. Okay. So, and Rams are withholding a bunch of guys from this game. Like they already said Aaron Donald's not playing. Obviously they have a ton of other dudes throughout this year that's been banged up. I think if you're, and then it's just a hypothetical, like they play obviously before the, they play at 3:25, I believe. Yeah. 3:25. Like, basically, if the Rams win, which is unlikely, then all the Lions, whoever wins this game would get in, essentially, right? Lions versus Packers. Like, how the hell would you potentially like keep that under wraps. And even if you're Dan Campbell, because I thought saw people talking about today just on like sports broadcasts and what and some streams, and it's like, how do you keep that under wraps? And like number two, like, you know damn well this being a road game, as soon as they find out who's, you know, winning that game in Lambeau, wouldn't you think the press announcer would just, they'd have that on the scoreboard instantly? Like, how would you even control if you're Dan Campbell? But like, I just think it's a tough scenario for him to be in, but I do feel like of all the coaches that deal with it, he's probably a pretty good one to pick.
Yeah, I definitely was going to say that of all the coaches, he doesn't seem like really someone who, it's not going to affect him. That's what I would say. Seattle's not going to change the way he coaches this game. And if anything, if Seattle wins, it might just make him more aggressive, which in my opinion, I'd probably rather not see. But yeah, it will be hard. I don't know how he can think realistically he's going to keep his team away from seeing that result. Even if they turn off all the TVs in the locker room and they tell guys not to go on their phones, which is already pretty unlikely. But like you said, even if they don't put it on the board, Packer fans will be yelling it. They'll be saying, your season's over, you're done, Seattle. Like, there's no way Detroit players are going into the game without knowing the outcome of that Seattle game. But I don't know about you. There's almost a part of me that feels like it might just be better if Seattle loses. And again, it's unlikely against the Rams, but I just feel like if you're a team with absolutely nothing to lose, I mean, they might just go out there and, you know, go for it on every other fourth down and do a, you know, fake punts and a fake field goal and a surprise onside kick. And yes, those things can blow up in their face and work in the Packers' advantage, but I don't want this game to get weird is what I'm saying. Let the two teams go out there, let the best team win. I don't want it to turn into a playoff game for one team and a spoiler game for the other, because that, it makes it a bit weird for me. Again, I'm taking the Packers either way, but just part of me feels like if Detroit comes in there with technically nothing to play for, it's kind of going to give them everything to play for and just put it all out there on the field.
That's a good spin zone. I like that. So I'm going to say I definitely want the Rams to win then, correct? That's what we want the Rams to win.
Yeah, for me, that's how I feel about
it. I like that because, like, honestly, like, the way the offense has been playing for the Lions, I think it's a super dangerous matchup. Obviously, everyone in Pack-A-Day and all the episodes leading up is, like, we've been talking about that all week, but it's, like, that Ben Johnson offense, kind of some of the, you know, the weapons they have, some of these underrated guys between Raymond, Reynolds, Armand St. Brown, and then, of course, like, Jamison Williams, it's, like, it's a dangerous situation to be in. Where,
yeah, Phil Chark, who's been making plays.
DJ Shark is one I've been, yeah, I actually forgot about him on Monday. We were doing the stream. Like, he's another one. Like, I don't know. I'm predicting a high score in this game just based off of how great Jared Goff has played recently. The Packers are the last team to actually intercept him back when they played in that 15-9 just ugly game. But that it'll be interesting to see how that impacts the game, because I'm sure we'll find out. I mean, there'll be people at the stadium that we'll see on Twitter that'll tweet about, hey, they had mentioned that the Seahawks won or lost. And like, it'll be interesting to see how Dan Campbell handles that as a, you know, head coach going in. It's basically is probably his most, you know, most meaningful game in his career, and the way he's turned this team around, you know, the last couple, you know, last month and a half, just with the defense, the way it's been playing, and the offense really hitting its stride late in the season. But it's gonna be a wild game, man. I'm super excited. I don't know what to expect. I know that the last couple games that I remember, end of the year versus the Lions, have been crazy. Obviously, the Matt Flynn one comes to mind. I was at that game. It was just an insane game.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
And I feel like there's been so many games, even just not at the end of the year, versus the Lions recently, where it's just been just obscure. Like you know, you got the Hail Mary. You have the, what was the other, like, just the ugly game towards the end of the Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy towards the end. And then, I mean, even the Packers, like, I think they won or clinched two divisions over in LaFleur's era against the Lions on two Mason Crosby game-winning kicks. And, yeah, Lions games, they get weird. I think they get weirder at Ford Field than Lambeau, but they still get pretty weird.
And it's like, the other thing is, too, it doesn't, like, and this is like a better Lions team, right? This isn't like a shitty Lions team that we've seen before. So it's like, okay, if they've already gotten weird, now they have a team that can actually, you know, move the ball on offense, and they have that run game. Like, yeah, it's a dicey situation to be in. I'm super stoked. I think it would be I would be shocked if somehow the Packers lost this game, just based off of, I'm sure Aaron's going to go out there and give his very, very best. He's going to motivate these young receivers. The defense has been playing great. It would be almost impossible. Just everything seems so tightened up from the last couple of weeks. We've seen from the defense to the special teams, it's really just the offense has to hold its own and, yeah, you know, and run the ball.
Think, we would ever be talking about the Packers offense having to hold their own, and we're praising the defense and special teams. I mean, what is this world we're living in? But it's great. Look, if I have to rely on Aaron Rodgers to turn it up, or our secondary, or our kickoff return team, whatever it is, I'd much rather rely on Aaron Rodgers. And just, you know, a quick thought, like, the fact that we're doing this with Aaron Rodgers not playing near his best, just imagine, you know, him turning it on even 20% more than he already has come playoff time. That's a totally different team and an extremely dangerous one, in my opinion.
100%. Like, I would much rather, you know, if you would have told me, if I would have just been in basically asleep from August till now, and I see the way the Packers have been playing the last couple weeks, I'd be very optimistic, just based off of, like, you always want to be playing your best ball going in. We've seen the Packers have some really, really good seasons, and all of a sudden kind of trickle in towards the end of the year into the playoffs. I think they're, I mean, regardless of record, I think they're playing pretty damn good football right now, and they might be a scary team if and when they make the playoffs. And that's kind of been the narrative around the entire NFC, right? From you know, the way that the Niners are playing, the way the Bucks are playing, the way the Packers are playing, and there's teams on the, you know, even the Jags, the Chargers, like, there's teams on the AFC side too, which are just scary teams. But we'll see what happens, man. 7:20 kickoff, Lambeau time on Sunday. SNF obviously got flexed, and it's gonna be wild. I'm super ecstatic for these games. We're gonna have some Saturday games to hold you over for some playoff ramifications, but really, like, come 7:20 on Sunday, I cannot wait for this kickoff in Lambeau. And it's just like, it's do or die, and we'll see who, you know, we'll probably have a better idea of the playoff picture come that kickoff. But it's really just win and get in, and whatever happens at that point, you, like McCarthy has said, you get into the dance, you get into the playoffs, and like, anything can happen. It's the second season in the NFL. Yeah. Eli, let everyone know as we wrap up here what you got going content wise, where we can get a hold of you, and where you deal with Zach Jacobson and Janelle Mackey when she's not acting up on a weekly basis.
Of course. So, make sure to check out every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central, Open Book with myself, Janelle Mackey, and Zach Jacobson. And then you can find just about all of my other content on Twitter at BookofEli_NFL.
For myself, you can find me, Matt Fralick, on Twitter at Matt_Fray_. That's at MATT_FRA_. We'll hopefully be doing a preview of a wild card matchup next week. For your Saturday episode of Pack a Day podcast. If not, we'll see what that episode ends up entailing. As far as my other content, I put out Mondays 8 Central Standard Time on Final Dump, or excuse me, on Game on Wisconsin social pages for the Final Dump stream with me and my boy Brendan Drazinski. Again, hopefully it's a recap of an incredible SNF win versus the Lions. Hopefully it's not a season recap. But at that point, we will basically break down everything that happened in week 18, flush it, and then get into the next week of the playoffs, or flush the entire season and get ready for the 2023 offseason. But hopefully, fingers crossed, optimistically, it is a win versus the Lions. I don't care how it happens. I think it's going to be, you know, I expect the high points. I believe the Lions, last I checked, were underdogs by 4.5. If I was a betting person, I would take the Lions with the points. I think it's going to be a really close game in this one at Lambeau on Sunday Night Football. But for Eli Berkovitz, Janelle Mackey, who is resting her immune system after a victory in Lambeau Field versus the Minnesota Vikings in her home state, I am Matt Fralick. You guys be well, take care, and as always, go Pack Go.